Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios, it's the Fantasy Football Show. Live! Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern.
What is going on, everybody? I'm Smitty from the Fantasy Football Show. We've got a little breaking news here. Scary Terry McLaurin. We knew this was coming down the way. Debo's next. What's this deal mean for Debo? There's a lot of implications here. A lot to talk about, but let's first talk about what Scary McLaurin. First of all, Scary Terry McLaurin inking a big deal, getting a monster contract. Let's give him an attaboy. Scary Terry. You deserve it, good buddy. Scary Terry McLaurin, one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL. One of the most underrated fantasy football wide receivers in fantasy football. This guy is a monster. This guy could head to
the moon.
The moon in 2022 and beyond. And if you have him as your low-end wide receiver one in, let's say, a zero wide receiver strategy, you're doing good things. This guy could be your crafty. You know, wait on a wide receiver. Don't draft a wide receiver till round the top of round five. This news like this tends to make people think, oh, you know, Terry McLaurin when they're in a draft, more so than right, you know, before this. Like, oh, he's a forgotten man. He's not getting a contract. What's wrong with him? That's what a lot of people think. The psychology of fantasy football minds is he's not getting a contract, Smitty. Does this mean there's something wrong with him? Is he broken? Should I let him fall to 5.4? Now he's in the news. People are going to be like, yeah, Scary Terry. I'm going to take him at 4.12. So he may not fall to the 5.1, 5.2, 5.3 much longer because of just the freshness of hearing about him. But Scary Terry McLaurin makes a fantastic win a league wide receiver one in a zero WR approach through four rounds. You could even take him technically at like the 4.12, 5.1 turn. You're better off letting him go into round five. That's win a league material. Into round five, not in four, try it in five. I don't want to see you mock drafting this man inside the top, 25 because we're doing a little show about him. So let's read the deal here. Commanders, this is the first report. Terry McLaurin signing a three-year extension worth up to $71 million in new money that places him among the NFL's top five wide receivers. This source is ESPN. Then we got more details over here from Ian Rappaport. These details suggest that the total guaranteed money is $53.154 million, which is phenomenal. Fully guaranteed at signing is $34.6 million. We don't know if there's any like stipulations of any kind of massages that, you know, situations that pop up that gets that taken away. But 34.6 mil is what he's getting now. Another 12.5 million guaranteed in March 2023. Signing bonus of 28 million. Roster bonus at the start of each year. 250K escalators each year except for the last year based on Pro Bowl nods. That's pretty awesome. Guy gets a Pro Bowl nod, 250. Guy gets another Pro Bowl nod, 250. That's a couple Teslas right there. 53.15 million guaranteed. What does this mean for Debo Samuel? Let me tell you, it's not good at the surface, and I'll tell you why. Debo's got a very lofty expectation of himself, which, granted, he deserves to have that lofty expectation. If we're being honest about Debo Samuel and what he did last year, he more than earned what McLaurin should get. He more than earned what, honestly, a lot of the bigger name wide receivers inking new deals deserve because of what he does for his team, how important he is for his team. If you wanted to actually pay Debo Samuel based on importance to his organization and the fact that the team leaned on him, everything went through him, he would deserve more than pretty much anybody. And I'm not saying that he deserves to ink a $70 million guaranteed deal. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm saying that I understand where Debo is coming from. From a proven perspective, he doesn't deserve what Adams and Hill and those guys get. I'm not an absolute moron. But when it comes to coming off of 1 year and expecting a monster deal, I get where Debo's coming from because based on 1 year, which you can't base contracts on. You can't base a contract off of 1 year And I know he played 2 years, injured in his second year, played pretty well his rookie year. But really, we're looking at 1 year that we're basing Debo's contract extension on. He balled out 1 year. He can't expect what seems reasonable on its face that he does deserve to be paid like pretty much any wide receiver in the league when his team counts on him the way they count on him. And that's not going to go away. Stop with this nonsense of Debo's not going to play wide back anymore. Just get out of here with it. That's the biggest bunch of posturing BS I've ever heard. Get out of here. He wants the ball. When Debo inks his deal, where's my football? When Debo inks his deal, he wants the ball in his hands at all times. Do you think he's going in the huddle going blue 32? Here's Trey. Blue 32, hatchback, flex capacitor 27. Gray's Book Sports Almanac 7. 42, Debo, handing the ball to you in 5. Excuse me. This is Debo. Excuse me. I don't want the football. I don't want to run the football. Don't hand the football to me. I'm not going to run. If you hand the football to me, I'm not going to run. If anybody thinks Debo does not want the football, you're out of your mind. This is posturing. You don't want to pay me for playing wide back and quarterback, or what, quarterback, wide back and running back and wide receiver and tight end. You don't want to pay me for all these things. Guess what? Guess what? I don't want to do them then. That's what he's doing. We're all doing that at our jobs. Okay? We're posturing. Mods, hit that. One of my mods, hit that. We're posturing here. Okay? That's what you do when you're in contract extension mode. I got it. I got him. I moderated. Smitty's doing it all. McLaurin inking this deal. $71 million, $53.15 mil guaranteed. You know what that does? That makes Debo Samuel pretty pissed off. Debo Samuel doesn't want this amount. Debo Samuel wants 57, 58, 59. This could reset his expectation to be like, okay, the Niners are offering me potentially, or what I'm hearing, because I don't think the Niners actually have offered him anything yet, $55 million. Now $55 million guaranteed looks pretty good compared to this. Two things could happen. Debo could literally say, I'm getting more than this. I better ink it, you know, as soon as it's offered to me. I don't think the Niners will rescind it or dumb it down to match. Let's say they were offering more than this to Debo. I don't think they're going to try and penny pinch and take away what they're going to go at Debo with. I think they've set aside a certain amount that's lower than it should be, but it's higher than potentially this. That's what I'm kind of thinking is going to happen here. So Debo's either going to reset his expectation and say to himself, I better accept what I'm getting, or this is so far away from what Debo's mind, where his mind is at. This is where the problem could be. Debo Samuel, I believe, thinks he's worth well north of 60. And I don't blame him. Like I said at the top, I understand where he's coming from and what he did and the percentage of his offense that he was. But Debo Samuel is not going to get anything well north of 60, 65, 70. Like, if he believes that and will stick to that, and I don't think he will either because he can't afford to hold out, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble because Debo will drag it out. My guess is that Debo might struggle with this for a minute or two. Debo might realize he's not getting $60 million guaranteed. Debo will take a minute to digest it. Hopefully he's got good advice around him, and he realizes that if he gets 54 or 55, probably not getting 57, 58, 59 guaranteed anymore. And it's the guaranteed money that we're worried about. Everybody keeps talking about this average per year. Yeah, I mean, it's important. It's good for bragging rights. I understand it. I get it. But end of the day, ultimately, the thing that matters the most, the thing that people are going to be concerned about at the end of the day, the thing that the accountants are going to say and tell Debo and say, Debo, this is the most important part, will be the guaranteed money. Debo's smart enough to know it's all about the guaranteed money. It's not about anything else. It's not about anything else. Ultimately, it's guaranteed money. That's what matters. And so what I truly believe will happen, Debo struggles with this a minute, maybe not even in the public eye, maybe behind the scenes, maybe well before the contract's even signed and we don't feel any of it. But I think he's going to struggle with this amount. I don't think Debo is going to like this amount at all. I think Debo thinks he's worth 59, 60 million. We had A.J. Brown get 57. The problem is the discrepancy between A.J. Brown and McLaurin. You have $53.154 million guaranteed, and you have A.J. Brown, I believe, at $57 million guaranteed. The Niners will probably come somewhere in the middle of those two numbers for Debo, and it wouldn't shock me if they're on the lower end of that, if they came right in the middle, a little bit to the hang to the left, a little crooked to the left. I think they hang that way. That wouldn't surprise me. And I think Debo wants at least now. He probably wanted 59-60. You know when you think you deserve something, whether it's with family or a job or a raise or whatever, and you think you're worth something, you have this real tough attitude toward it. You're like, I'm getting that. And then you realize you get hit right in the gut. Rock out with a $2 super. Appreciate you, Rock Out. McLaurin deal, better deal than AJB, says Rock Out. You know, when you have you think you're worth more, you stand tough, you think you're the boss, and then you get hit right in the gut and your expectation gets settled, and you come in and you settle a lot lower than you think. That's what Debo's gonna have to do. If Debo walks in to this situation thinking he's guaranteed to get above AJ Brown, he's out of his mind. AJ Brown is the max deal he's gonna get from the Niners. The Niners are not gonna spend more than let's just say they go 58 million. AJ Brown got 57. Could they do that? Sure. Could they do 59? If we're living in bizarro world, maybe. But I venture to say we're between McLaurin and AJ Brown. 57 mil guaranteed, 53 million guaranteed. Debo's got to accept that. He's got to accept the hard, harsh reality that he can't get $70 million guaranteed, which is probably what he wants, which I understand he probably wants. I can rationalize it to a degree because he was that valuable for 1 year, but the 1 year makes it so Debo can't ask for that on a long-term deal. Like, Debo deserves that if you could extrapolate 1 year out for 5 or 6 years, but we don't know if you can do that. So Debo, and here's the thing. Debo can't really hold out, guys. I know a lot of you think, oh my God, what if Debo gets scared and wants to hold out? And what if Debo is upset and wants to hold out? What if Debo decides he's going to just be a diva and hold out? He can't afford to hold out. The NFL set up now that the mandatory fines are not reversible. So very soon it would be, and he's already in camp. It's not like he's holding out right now. But if he decided this deal's not getting done, I'm retracting. I'm not coming in. Give me a new contract. I'm going to hold out. Let's say Debo decided to go that route. Because, I mean, in bizarro world, stranger things happen, right? You know what I'm saying? If he decided to hold out, he'd be knocking up $40,000 a day in fines. There's no way Debo can handle that. First in the building today was Blackbeard. Not surprising at all, to be honest with you. Jeb was in here. Mario was in here next. Gordo, Axe, Vamp, Philip, Gary, Nate, and DG3, and a whole bunch more of you are in here. We are opening up the phone lines. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're thinking in regards to this situation. I want to know if you think, like me, that Scary Terry McLaurin is one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL and also one of the most underrated fantasy football wide receivers in fantasy football. I want to hear from you. I want you to call into the phone line, and I want you to do it live. Let's go.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
Ron dropping a super chat. Ron, I appreciate you. And I don't know if you notice, we have a wee bit of a different situation going on here on the phone lines. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. The followers, where the followers, if you get 10 thumbs down while you're speaking and you're not entertaining the masses, you get disconnected. It's not up to me. It's up to them. Who am I talking to?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Overcome. Can you hear me?
Overcome, I can hear you. What's up, pal?
Not much, dude. Freaking, I like Terry McLaurin, dude. I think he's underrated.
Very, very scary Terry in the house. Very underrated. Very underrated. Top 5 to 10 fantasy potential this guy has. Top 5 to 10 fantasy potential. Now, let me preface, though. Thank you, Navy, for the super chat. He says, have to leave, have an appointment with a back surgeon. Be careful there, Navy. I hope your back's okay. I think Scary Terry McLaurin's a top 5 to 10 fantasy football wide receiver with the right quarterback. Currently, he doesn't have the right quarterback. Currently, we cannot put him in the top 5 to 10. I think he can float around 8 to 15. And I say such a big, like, range of value because, I mean, Wentz is not reliable. Wentz could get hurt. Wentz is very injury prone. Do I think a healthy Wentz all year, who I don't like, I don't like Wentz, okay? I don't like Wentz. He's not a good quarterback, but he's an upgrade. And if Wentz were to stay healthy and at least throw the football down the field constantly, overcome, we're talking about him breaching top 10, like 10, 11, 9. He'll dance around 8 to 9, maybe finish 10, 11, 12 on the year. That's the lowest end wide receiver one in fantasy football. That's what Scary Terry McLaurin is capable of if he gets a healthy Wentz all year. If he had a Russell Wilson, if he had a Russell Wilson, bro, he would probably be in the 7 to 6 to 10 range all year long.
Oh, yeah. Who did, that year they won the Super Bowl, who was he? Was there, there wasn't a specific player against that had a lot of heat. It was, Zach Ertz saw a lot of volume and, Alshon Jeffrey, right? I mean, but it was nothing significant. Wentz isn't really a...
Yeah.
Right?
Look, we don't really know what Wentz is because he goes to a different situation. He gets hurt. Like, we don't. My guess is that McLaurin would be fed enough with a healthy Wentz to be, like I said, borderline 12, which is really good because you're drafting him in the fifth round. And so, like I say, even right now with Carson Wentz, the quarterback, with no good quarterback situation, it's a mediocre quarterback situation. Terry McLaurin is held back significantly. Held back significantly. He is still worthy of being your number one fantasy football wide receiver in a zero WR approach through four rounds. So you go running back, Josh Allen, Breece Hall. So you have three running backs and Josh Allen. And then McLaurin's your first wide receiver in the top of five. That's win elite potential.
I don't have a problem with that, man. I mean, I think there was one game last season, one game where McLaurin dropped the ball, right? There was like one, I mean, it's just not a...
Yeah.
I don't remember it being ever a thing. The guy never dropped
imagine,
the ball, right? I
mean, bro, imagine if McLaurin had Russell Wilson. Like, this Washington football team commanding... presidents, whatever you want to call them. This team literally picked up the phone, bro, and they said, Patrick Mahomes, are you available? No, you're not. Tom Brady's available? No, he's not available. Russell Wilson, let's go hardcore after Russell Wilson. Fourth on our list, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is who they ended up with. They were aggressively trying to upgrade the position. They didn't do a good enough job, obviously. And if Wilson were throwing the football to McLaurin, not only would the Washington Commanders have a real shot at winning their division, I'm just going to say it, and you can clown it all you want because everybody in here is going to think that hates Washington, is going to think he's crazy talking about the team. Yeah, of course, the team that we now have in front of us. Now, if they got Russell Wilson, it's a completely different ballgame. He can turn any team that's good like the Washington Commanders are. They're good. They still have a quarterback, so they're going to be awful at the end of the day. But they're good. If Russell Wilson went to Washington, Scary Terry McLaurin would be a top 5 to 10 wide receiver like he belongs to be. And I believe McLaurin probably hesitated a little bit too. I don't think he's just like, give me the money, give me the money. I bet you he was a little bit gun-shy himself. End of the day, the money talks. He wants the money. And the quarterback situation could change maybe next year. Maybe they get a big-name quarterback in a trade next year. But I bet you he was definitely scared to sign this deal a little bit because he knows that he's being completely held back. This is a top 5 to 10 wide receiver that can barely squeak out 11 to maybe 10 to 15 overall wide receiver fantasy football production. He's just held back, bro. He's held back. It's okay. We still love him. It's okay. 80% of Terry McLaurin is still a top 12-ish wide receiver. I'm on board for it. Scary Terry McLaurin, even with Carson Wentz, is headed to the moon. He may be headed there a little bit slower, bro. The shuttle's not moving quite as quick, but he is going to make it there eventually. What else you got?
Gibson?
Gibby? Yeah, Gibby's shin. He had the... he was banged up last year.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Gibson was banged up last year. I don't know. I don't think anybody truly knows how healthy he'll be walking into 2022. I think it's safe to assume he'll be healthier than he was last year. He's got a whole offseason to work on it. If Gibby struggles badly with injury again, this is what he is. He's an injury-prone guy. Like, there's concerns about Gibby that I have. Gibby is literally one of the most unknown starting running backs in the NFL coming into the pros. Now, the most experience we've seen is in the pros. He came out of college with about 30 carries to his name, bro. 30 carries to his name. He came out of college with 30 receptions to his name. He was not even used, really. In the Washington, then Redskins turned Commanders turned football team, or turned football team turned Commanders, almost turned presidents. This team did good identifying his ability to be a starting running back in the NFL, but does the lack of pedigree and resume from college that's clear as day as a concern, does that paint a picture as to what he's going to look like as a starting running back? Do we need to see volume, proven volume from a running back? I say yes. Normally I say yes. I say Gibson's already here. Gibson's already producing. Gibson's already done enough to I think, warrant one more try, as Asher so beautifully sung on this show before, our in-house musician. And when I say in-house, I mean he DMs me songs. That Gibby deserves one more try. Timmy T style. One more try, because you're getting him where? Where are you getting him overcome? You're getting McLaurin. A Gibby at like what? Fifth round sometimes?
Yeah, it's like, well, he gets a little bit higher than that. But
sometimes.
Dude, he's built like Jonathan Taylor, man. He's got the physical. He's a strong dude, man. He's dealing with that shin injury. That's right.
Bro,
all year last year. Remember that?
Bro, in the Throne League. In the Throne League, we saw Gibby fall to 4.10. We almost got him at the 4.12 pick with Herbert. You're getting close to you're getting close to disconnection here with the thumbs down. Bring something strong. Don't worry, don't worry. Everybody eventually gets kicked off the phone line. So you've done a great job. Don't listen to the thumbs down. But anything else before you get booted?
What am I getting thumbs down for?
Let me give one. Yo, man, who's gonna have a better bounce back year, Juju or Allen Robinson?
Allen Robinson.
Who's bounce back? Do you like A-Rob?
I like A-Rob more than Juju.
Yeah, bro. I got them both in Dynasty, so I'm hoping they both come back big this year.
Yeah. All right, Overcome, I appreciate you. You survived without getting kicked off. Congratulations, my friend. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody can make it through this segment without the audience voting you out. Appreciate you.
Okay. All
right. What do you got? You got something else?
I got more questions, but I'll get
Hit me with one more. Hit me with one more. Go.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, bro.
Well, I run into that problem.
middle of the second round, Javonte Swift. I know you don't want to go for Fournette, but I think he's stuck in mock draft where I don't know whether to take Javonte Swift or go, you know, usually end up taking Tyreek Hill.
I love Javonte and Swift. It's one of my favorite strategies, bro. One of my favorite strategies. You almost got booted. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, Overcome. There's anybody in the chat, they throw a thumb down, and when I get eight of them, you get the warning. And then when it's 10, you get booted. It's fine. Everybody's going to get booted. You've actually gotten further so far than anybody in the history of the show on the phone call segment with the thumbs down, which we've just implemented. So congratulations. You should be proud of that. You kept the call so entertaining, you didn't get booted. I appreciate you, Overcome.
Yes, thanks, man.
All right, call in anytime. Call back again today. Just call back in 5 minutes. Bye. All right. That was pretty good. He almost got booted. All right, next caller. Oh, I have a bad feeling about this one. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. Don't let the audience boot you off the call. Make it entertaining. Who am I talking to?
Rock Out.
Rock Out, you're live. I don't think Rock Out can get booted. Maybe Rock Out wants to get booted. Rock Out, hit me with something, bro.
Well, first of all, I like to deal with McCorin, and I also think with his receiving core counterpart, he could probably be like an 8 to 13 wide receiver.
For sure. McLaurin could definitely be at least top 10 to 15. But you got to give him, like, because Wentz is injury prone, because Wentz is not proven, because he's been proven to be awful, like, he has to have, McLaurin's got to be like 8 to 15. Like, you can't put him 8 to 10. He's 8 to 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. The wide variety of drafts or finishing spots he could be in for wide receivers is absolutely crazy. But if he got Russell Wilson, let's say, instead of Wentz, where would you rank McLaurin? Yeah. 6 to 10?
Probably top 5.
Yeah, I mean, really, with Russell Wilson, he would be there. Right now, definitely borderline 10, but safer in that, like, 10 to 15 variety. What else you got, Rock Out? Hit me with something strong. We don't want you getting downvoted. Go.
And I got another question on top of that question. Drafting, sometimes I do like the Javonte and Swift, like at pick 12, and I usually see like DK, Waddle, and McCorn. Where would you rate those, like far as like a third, fourth round?
I would say I definitely feel like Javonte and Swift is my favorite draft strategy from the 12th spot by far, far and away. One of my favorite draft strategies. And McLaurin is definitely there. But he's sometimes there in the fifth round. So I don't know about fourth round. I think DK and Waddle are typically two wide receivers that I love grabbing in that 12-13 turn for the third and fourth round picks of that 12 and 13 or that 12 pick. Do I think McLaurin's worthy of the 5.1, I guess it would be? No. 4.12, right? 4.1. No, that's too early. I think McLaurin hasn't earned that yet. Just because he signed a new deal doesn't mean he jumps to 4.1. McLaurin's a safe fifth-round player for a reason. Or late fourth-rounder. Like 4.5 I'm okay with. I think 4.1's a little early. Like, we need to take full advantage of him. What else you got, Rock Out? You're getting some. We need something exciting. You got four thumbs down.
We think about James Conner and Montgomery.
I don't like their ADPs. I like Montgomery's ADP a little bit. I don't like the ADP of Connor in the third round. It's way too high, bro. It's way too high.
And what do you think about Lamar Jackson in the fifth?
Too high. I'd rather have Hurts or... I don't think you got to take Lamar in the fifth. Herbert went at 4.12 to us in the throne draft. Lamar Jackson went in the seventh round in the throne draft. Kyler Murray went in the seventh round. Now, granted, quarterbacks fall a lot later than they should in this particular draft, but Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow went at 7.8. Absolutely insane.
And if you go heavy running back, are you okay with Tim Brown being your wide receiver too?
Who being my wide receiver too?
Sam Brown.
What Brown? AJ Brown?
Sam Brown.
I can't hear you.
Sam Brown from Detroit.
Saint Brown, okay. I mean, it depends, bro. It depends. I like Saint Brown.
Yeah, I did this weird build. Yesterday, where I basically...
Rock out, we're losing you. Got eight. Rock out, we got eight thumbs down. We need something exciting. Hit us. Come on, rock out. Hurry. Hurry.
Warning. Level 8.
Okay,
Finish him.
I believe, like, the next...
Call terminated.
Rock out. Call back. And try that again. Call back and try that again, Rock Out. Yeah, what's with the spam? Can my mods hit that, please? Thank you. Dial in again. Sorry, I missed your call. I'm trying to deal with the stupid spam bot. You're the man, Rock Out. Kenny says, Rock Out, call back. Let's try that one more time. Anonymous keeps saying this over and over. What are you talking about? You really allowing people to draft CMC top 5? I don't know what you're saying. Stop saying it over and over. I don't know what you're talking about. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. Who am I talking to?
Talking to Mario, Smitty.
Mario, this is the phone service where the followers vote you off. Not me. It's not my fault. But don't get 10 thumbs down. Hey. Make it exciting. You're live. Hit me with it. Go. What's your topic?
I'm all about the community.
Okay.
All right. So, we never talk about this wide receiver, right? And he easily is going to break out next season. Easily, in my opinion. And he's extremely undervalued going in the 6th, 7th round. Darnell Mooney. We don't talk about him enough on the show, man.
I like Mooney.
He's easily going to break out.
I can't talk about everybody.
I know you like him. I like him. But I feel like it should be baked in.
Well,
that we should be drafting this man.
I think you guys are halfway responsible for not bringing him up because I do phone calls and voicemails all the time. Hey, so, yeah, I'll
be the guy.
Okay, you're the guy.
I'll be the guy to bring it up.
Darnell Mooney is probably one of the more underrated, I would say, like, where's his ADP? Where is he falling? He got drafted
like 6th, 7th round, sometimes 8th.
Yeah, I'm looking at the throne draft, and it looks like Mooney went at pick number. Where did he go? Is he still available? He might be still
exactly.
Available.
Exactly. Maybe. And Mooney is obviously the top guy. Chicago, blah blah blah. People don't think though. They don't believe in Chicago.
Oh,
they don't 6.9. Believe in Fields.
He went at 6.9.
He's breaking out. Like Fields is breaking out.
I mean, he already kind of has broken out, right? He's already kind of broken out. But, like, he'll continue to. He'll get better. I agree. I agree. And with
exactly,
Fields getting better,
exactly.
Fields getting better, he should get better. So, I'm okay with that. I think, like, most teams acquire him as their third wide receiver, and I think that's the smart play. I don't think it's, you know, and that's with drafting, like, Mooney went at 6.9. So that means, like, you can have two running backs, you can have two wide receivers, you can have a quarterback, you can bring Mooney in, you know, as your 6th drafted player. I like that. If you start taking him in round 5.
Yeah, no, He could be your wide receiver too, is what I'm trying to say with wide receiver one upside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you don't want to take him.
He's their pass catcher.
But with being like almost a seventh rounder, you can afford him to be your flex. You don't have to draft him as your... Like you, I suppose you could stack up at running back, quarterback, tight end, and then come in as your secret weapon wide receiver too, sure. But in a typical draft approach, he will fall to your flex or your wide receiver three. You know, most teams, like I'm looking at some mocks right here, three running backs, and he's the third wide receiver, so he's a sixth player taken. So, like, I'd be okay
Mooney
with it if you win.
Mooney to the moon is all I'm saying. Mooney to the moon.
He needs a what?
Mooney to the moon.
Mooney to the moon?
I feel like he needs a moonshot.
I could give him a
moonshot.
I could give him a moonshot. I think he, yeah.
To the moon.
I'm real careful with giving those out. Like, I almost want to take it back. Like, I like Mooney.
No, I like Mooney.
I just don't know if he's winning your league. And the moonshots are kind of for win a league players. I'm not going to take it back, but I think maybe I was a little bit overly aggressive there. I like him.
If we look at the numbers, you see like what him. Mooney was doing. I know Allen Robinson was, you know, kind of garbage last season, but Mooney was the guy. And he's going in the sixth, seventh round, bro.
Yeah, well, he's great there.
I feel like it's baked in, but like
he's great there.
He's gonna break out even more next season.
In 2021, he had 10.55 and 4 TDs. In 2022, he had 6.31 and 4 TDs. So his problem is his touchdowns, and it's not necessarily his problem. It's the team's problem. It's Fields' problem. They're a team building from the trenches. Yeah. They're building. They're rebuilding. They're kind of a mess there in some ways. They still will be in 2022. So really, what's holding Mooney back is similar to what's holding Kyle Pitts back: touchdowns. Kyle Pitts will be the yardage guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll get the receptions. Mooney's going to be a yardage guy. He's probably going to have 1,200 yards this year. I mean, he could easily have more yardage like that. He could easily have 85 to 90 receptions. But will he have more than 4 or 5 touchdowns?
I don't know. Second wide receiver on that roster. Like, it's Monty and Mooney. That's, like, some people I can handle. Yeah. Cole Kmet, but, like...
All right, man.
Kmet, I don't care about Cole Kmet.
Congrats on making it through without any thumbs down. Or we got maybe... No, I don't think you got any thumbs down. I think you made it through, bro.
Let's go.
Congrats. All right.
Mooney to the moon. That's all I'm saying to me. Right. Let's throw him out there a little bit more.
We'll call up and talk about him.
Let's get him out here.
All right. Appreciate you. All right. Making it through... Good call. Yeah, I like Mooney. I think Mooney is a very, very good, aggressive wide receiver three. I just don't know that he has the touchdown guarantees to. I shouldn't have given him a moon call. How can I take a moon call back? Maybe like a disapprove? I can't be throwing moon calls out that easy. That was really, really reckless of me. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man?
Who is this?
Hey.
Umberger, this is a voting system now. You get 10 thumbs down. I have to hit the button and boot you. So make it entertaining. Let's go.
If your chat doesn't have the balls to thumb me down, I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, what do you got?
DJ Shark. You used to be a proponent of him. Now you don't talk about him much.
DJ.
Is he resurrected now?
DJ Shark. What are we talking? It's like talking about kickers.
He's up there, DK Metcalf.
It's like talking about kickers on the show, bro. We gotta talk about DJ Chark,
bro. Yeah.
I don't think so, bro. I'm not excited
about. You don't feel DJ?
Are you trying to get booted from the show?
I ain't trying to get booted.
I think you're trying to.
No. That DJ Chark was an all pro one year, and now no one's talking about him. And he's going like the 10th round. And you're not, and you can't be a league winner?
Level 8.
I don't know. I think you might still have
Umberger, potential. Umberger, you got to come stronger than DJ Chark. We're not talking about kickers, defenses, or DJ Chark on the channel.
Warning. Level 8.
Well, I'm bringing something no one talks about, but anyways.
Hurry, Umberger, you got 8 thumbs down. Hurry.
Warning. Level 8.
I got nothing, man. Take care.
Umberger, hit it.
Finish him. Call terminated.
I feel like Umberger got a little upset. I don't know. Why are people take offense to this kind of thing? I don't know. Umberger just bailed. Umberger, call back! You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. What can I do for you?
Yeah, I was looking to talk rookies.
Okay, what do you got?
For the call. All right, so I was looking maybe for like late round value, like Khalil Shakir, something of that nature. Also was looking for guys like Drake London, where to, you know, maybe mid rounds of the draft.
So deep wide receivers, I would say the players that I like, that often Russell Gage, you know, is definitely a guy that I think a lot of people see coming. So he's not like deep, but he's still available like in the throne draft, and we're in almost the eighth round. So Russell Gage is still a great pick. Jahan Dotson in Washington's turning heads. George Pickens, wide receiver in Pittsburgh, I think could eventually grab a hold of some timeshare. Tim Patrick. Umberger will tell you DJ Chark, and he is ranked around like 149 overall. You know, I don't personally love DJ Chark, but Umberger is a legend here, and he likes him. So there's one name that he's recommending. Jalen Tolbert's another rookie. Alec Pierce is going at 164 overall. So that's a real good one. And those are a lot of rookies I know we're talking about.
Pierce definitely. I think he's got a lot of upside for sure.
Pierce is
great. I just wasn't sure if he was going to be one of those guys that was going to get the fast rise, you know, to like 9th, 10th round ADP.
I mean, Joshua Palmer could be pretty good, you know, if he's leaned upon. Like, those are a bunch of good games. Tim Patrick, you know, maybe he becomes pretty relevant. He's around that area too. I like that. You know what I'm saying? So,
definitely.
Derek even said Tim Patrick. I don't know. Those are all very, very late wide receivers. Even if they're not unknown players, they're like 150s overall. That's pretty good. I'm still waiting for Unberger to call back with a big time question. Osborne, I saw Osborne play basketball the other day, and I just can't shake it, bro. I can't let go of how bad of a basketball player KJ Osborne is. He went live with Justin Jefferson. They're trash at basketball. Both of them are absolute garbage at basketball. But Jefferson was at least hitting a couple. KJ Osborne was literally like not even hitting the rim, and the backboard would be like, boom! And it's like just watching somebody that's supposed to be this amazing athlete. I know it's not a sport. I can't shake it. It's like a wake up, almost having nightmares over watching KJ Osborne play basketball. It was so awful. And so, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to be able to shake that for the rest of my life. Patterson. Patterson's not a sleeper, though. All right, bro. Appreciate you. You made it through without any thumbs down for the most part.
All right.
Good question.
All right, sounds good.
Later.
Yeah, I think that.
Oh, sorry, pal. Umberger. I'm waiting for Umberger to call back. Part duch of Umberger. Everybody wants the Umberger. Everybody wants a piece of Umberger. Chark. I think he's trying to get the boot. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. You're live. What can I help you with?
It'll rock out.
Rock out, back. Let's go, rock out. Hit me with something good, pal.
So why are you not buying into Mixon?
Well, I'm not buying into Mixon. I'm not against Mixon, to be honest. I think he's reasonably priced. You know when there's a player that's getting drafted right where they need to get drafted, they can definitely earn what you're paying. You're on the clock and they just feel about right. That's how he feels. I don't feel bad about Mixon. I don't feel amazing about Mixon. I feel very sad. It's a satisfying draft selection at 12, at 11. I lean the Javonte and Swift route. You know, I just like two or three players more on average where Mixon's going. That's all. It doesn't mean I hate him. Doesn't mean just because I'm not drafting him a lot. Just means I like one or two of the regular usual suspects that are almost always available right where Mixon goes. So that's all it is. It's just me loving Swift Javonte stack at 12-13. It's just me loving, two double wide receiver. Get CeeDee Lamb and Diggs stack at 12 and 13 or 11 and 14. It's not about Mixon. I don't hate Mixon. I just love Swift. I just love Javonte. I'd take either one over Mixon. Doesn't mean Mixon's a bad guy. But yeah. And I think Mixon's got that 1 year left. He's been abused for years. He's been waiting for this team his whole life. And now that it's finally here, he's got the mileage of a grandmother. His knees are probably on the verge of collapse because this man's been shoved into the ground with eight-man front after eight-man front over and over, waiting for the Bengals to finally get good. They're finally good. He's good still, but he's teeter-tottering on that final year or so. So one more year for Mixon. Don't draft him high in Dynasty. Trade him away mid-season in Dynasty if you can, if he's balling out, and just go get a safer player. Like, would I rather have Breece Hall in Dynasty? Absolutely. Would I rather have Kenneth Walker over Mixon in Dynasty? I would. That's me. I would. I understand some people don't like the risk. That's okay.
Also got a better offensive line, so
yeah,
I'm thinking that might improve the situation as far as what was happening the last couple of years. And
yeah.
Yeah,
with Mixon
back behind him.
With Mixon, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, okay, you take your car in, or you've driven your car for 100,000 miles. Then you decide to soup it up. You put on amazing tires. You put on amazing rims. You give it a good old oil change. You put in the expensive gas. It's all expensive right now. But you put in the even more expensive gas. Not the arm and a leg gas. The gas that costs your life. The level up. The high octane. You put it in there. And then you expect it to run like you did all that at 10,000 miles when it was a young pup. Like, that's all I'm saying. You improve the offensive line. You finally get Chase. You get a wide open offense. He's literally had his 100,000 mile, journey already. Could he go another run as a high-end running back one? He most certainly can. I'm not against it. But it's just a little too late to doll up the entire team. When this guy's been going to the dance by himself for a handful of years. It just sucks for Mixon. This is why I wanted Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall to land in Cincinnati as a very, very confusing situation to many, but something that I would very much welcome and love for the future, the long term. Kenneth Walker in Cincy would have been amazing, for the long term. I would have loved it to have Kenny Walker there, but maybe the Bengals draft a running back in the next year or two. It just depends how Mixon holds up, but not a bad player. What else you got, Rock Out? Hit me with something strong. You've got no thumbs down so far, and I don't want you guys to throw them out recklessly just to get them out. Rock Out's got a good call going.
And do you think Osmer has a chance to get promoted to the wide receiver two for the Vikings? Because I seen like good spurts like last year of him.
Yeah, Osborne, so Draper says here, Mixon's 25 years old with the laughing emoji. Draper, it's all about mileage. Doesn't have to do with how old he is when his birthday is. Doesn't matter. He's 25. The 26 is the new 30. 26 is at least the new 39. You drop off as a running back when you've been running hardcore. You drop off as a running back at 26, 27, not 30 years old anymore. 25 is literally you're on your last legs. 25, 26 is a running back. That's the way it is. Unless you're an older running back, which is a bad thing in itself to be an older breakout running back. There's a lot of age breakout predictability. So Don Draper, the laughing emoji, it needs to be rescinded in this case because, yes, 26 years old, when he hits 26, you are the new 30, bro. Keep up, Don. Read the room, Don. Well, all right, go ahead, Rock Out. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking Osborne from Minnesota could possibly be like the wide receiver two over Phelan because I saw pretty good spurts of him at times during last season.
I don't know, bro. Yeah, Mixon turns 26 here next month, bro. So he's already 26. He'll be 27 next season. That's an old man in running back years. Sorry, KJ Osborne. I don't know if you heard me talking. I can't shake the fact I watched him play basketball, bro. It was awful.
Yeah,
I mean, he was hitting that rim. So he looks so uncoordinated. I can't shake it. I can't shake it. KJ Osborne looks so uncoordinated to me playing basketball. But let me let go of it for a minute. Wide receiver. He is a wide receiver. He's not a basketball player, Smitty. He's a wide receiver. He could get the number two job. Yeah.
And what's your rip on Gabe Davis?
Gabe Davis has wide receiver 3 potential for sure and an ability to score more than that. So I definitely feel like he could be a high-end wide receiver 2, but you draft him as a wide receiver 3. Love Gabe Davis.
All right, sounds good. That's all
rock
I got
out.
For you.
Call in any time, pal. Appreciate you. Rock out. In the house. Oh, Rock out, are you going to be part of the jam session? Rock out, call back real quick. Rock out, call back real quick, okay? You're live on the Fantasy Football Show. Who am I talking to? Hello? Mom? Mom, hit the green button. Mom, you've muted me. Deuces. Rock out, call back real quick. I have a question for you. Alec Pierce. I love him. Wide receiver 3-4 upside for a whole lot more. Official loves him. I'm waiting for Rockout to call back one more time. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show.
It's Overcome back with a vengeance.
Overcome. He's coming back. He wants to clear his name. What's up, pal?
Is Gainwell going to be relevant?
Who?
Gainwell in the Philly backfield. I know you were high on him last season. But then, they just had so many freaking mouths to feed.
Are you talking about Gainwell? Is that what you said?
Gainwell.
I thought you said J-Will. Gainwell, yeah. I like Gainwell. I'm not going to probably draft him very high, like in a deep league on my bench. Sure. Yeah. Like last running back, absolutely. But like, do I think he could be like one of my 4 bench guys? Probably not. One of my 4 bench running backs. If I'm in a smaller league, you can't hold Gainwell. But could Miles Sanders falter? Yeah. Is the Philly offense going to be potent enough to make a really good running back production? Yeah. And they're going to run a lot. So if Gainwell gets in there, he's actually pretty good. Like, I like Gainwell a lot. It's easy to forget about these guys because, like, they don't do anything the year you kind of hope they do. And then you have this, like, unsatisfied, expectation that makes you then not like them, Like, Gainwell didn't break out or take the job last year. We liked him, right? Now we're so disappointed. We're like, he's garbage. That's the way people feel about Clyde. Clyde's disappointed 2 years in a row, and people just won't even give him a shot. Like, Clyde... There's a report that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, with his gallbladder or his appendix, I forget what it was, which surgery he had, but he plays at about 200 to 205, 210. There's a lot of different weights that people claim that he plays at. He was 160 pounds last year. I don't think anybody realizes that. He was 160 pounds. He came back at 160, normally plays above 200. That's got to be rough. So he was getting scooped.
How is that even possible?
I don't understand, yeah. I mean, it makes me respect him for being tough and coming out there and playing, but like 40 pounds, are you crazy? That's crazy. That's crazy. So
yeah,
I feel like Gainwell, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, there's a group of guys that are low risk, but people still want to invest. They just don't want to. They're so mad that their expectations were never met. They just are angry as can be, and they want nothing to do with it. So, like, I'm okay with grabbing those guys. I'm fine with it.
But he's no threat to Sanders, huh?
Yeah, threat, no. Sanders will have to lose the job. But Sanders getting hurt, disappointing, short leash, running back by committee, and then Gainwell slowly starts to produce more, and then he gets the job later, yeah. But, like, outright take it in camp? I don't think so. You never know. You never know. If he does, I'll be real on board the Kenny Gainwell train. If he looks so good that he's going to take Miles Sanders' job, I'll be right back on board real quick because I really liked him last year.
Yeah.
All right, buddy boy. Appreciate you. Good call, Overcome. And don't take offense if you ever get booted. That's just the nature of this segment, okay? It sounded like Umberger was a little disappointed. All right, I got to grab this call. Appreciate you. You're live. You are live on the Fantasy Football Show. Good buddy, good pal. The segment where the followers...
Hey, Umberger again.
Where the followers can bump... Hey, Umberger, appreciate you calling back. You sounded like a little down when you got booted.
No, I'm not down, man, okay. But I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
A mock draft, fantasy pro style, when they rate your team at the end. Me and you right now. If you win, I'll send you $100 dono.
$100 dono if I win the mock draft according to the audience?
No, according to the fantasy pros, how they rank it.
Oh, well, not that I wouldn't do that with you, but the problem with that is that they don't rank anything like I rank. So, you know, I almost don't want them to rank my team.
Maybe you're part of the group, man.
I know, but I don't know if you noticed.
You're the one of that guy.
Bro, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of people will do the Fantasy Pros mock draft, right? And then they'll at the end of the video, they'll go, what experts like my team the most? And they'll always be, a lot of times you'll see these videos, people say, Smitty, this guy Smitty liked my team the best. This guy Smitty liked my team the best.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see that a lot. Yeah. They did that on Fantasy Pros. So I am a part of it, but I'm a part of the extreme part of those rankings, bro. I'm probably the lowest expert. Go, look it up right now. Are you in front of a computer?
Yeah.
I want you to rank. I'm not even looking. I want you to look up Kenneth Walker and Derrick Henry. I bet you I'm the highest analyst on Kenneth Walker in the entire industry, and I bet you I'm the lowest analyst on Derrick Henry in the entire industry. Look it up right now. Be honest.
All right, I'm looking up right now. Hold on. I isolate your name here. Schmitty, there you are. Let's see here. There you go. All right, let's see what we got here.
I'm not even looking.
All right. All right, it says here you got Derrick Henry second.
Oh, someone's beat me. Okay, what's it say about Kenneth Walker? Somebody beat me.
You got Kenneth Walker.
I got to be the highest in the industry. Have to be.
You got him at 31. Is that true?
No, what do I rank amongst everybody? Am I the highest in the industry on Kenneth Walker?
I don't know. How did I look?
You didn't even look that on Henry then? Okay.
Well, give me a second, man. There's a bunch of people here. I got on. Okay, I got you now. We'll figure this out. I haven't done this before.
You can sort it.
Bear with me.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know. I have to select two people. Who are you going to battle against here? Which expert do you want to go against?
I don't know if you have to even go that route. I forget how you sort it. Let's go there. Let me pull it up.
Well, I picked you, man. I got you, but it says I pick at least two experts. So who else do you know here?
Go against Matthew Berry.
All right. I don't even know if he's on here. Matthew. What about the Eisen guy? We'll do that.
Kirk. Sure.
What's his name? Eisenberg, yeah, Jamie. All right, there we go. All right.
So if I click on Derrick Henry, I think this is what you can do. You go to Derrick Henry, go to rankings, and then I believe you can search by expert name, and then you can sort the rank. So right here, it says, Derrick Henry, I am the second lowest in the entire industry on Derrick Henry, I believe, is what this is saying. No? Yeah, I believe that's what that's saying. Then if you go back to...
Oh, it says -5. You got him at RB7. That's where you rank him.
Yeah. I did hire him up, I think, a little bit just because...
That's about right, though. that's about right.
Let me look at Javonte.
Alright.
Javonte Williams. I am the highest in the industry, I believe. No? Yeah. I'm the highest in the industry. I have Javonte Williams at number two. The number two running back finisher in fantasy football 2022. No one in the industry, according to Fantasy Pros, has Javonte Williams higher. I refuse to allow it, Umberger. Not on my watch.
Who do you have number one, JT?
JT, not on my watch will I allow someone to rank Javonte Williams higher than me. If someone comes in and makes him number two, I will move him to one. Unberger, you hear me?
Yeah, no, I think that's how you got to do it. I think you're right on. Well, let's see your rankings then on here. What's it show? Where do you have these other guys at?
I don't know. I haven't saved my rankings on here in a while, though, so I don't know that. I got to go in and touch him up, Umberger. This is like me. I'm not dressed right now is basically how I feel. You're looking at me in my bathrobe.
Yeah, you weren't ready for this, the heat I put on here now.
I mean, no, it's not heat. It's just, I got to go in and clean the rankings up. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of signings and things like that, but it's a good reminder, bro. It's a good reminder.
Yeah. Yeah, man, because I do some mocks, because they're, quick and fast or whatever. And and I always get, Smitty approved. Smitty approved.
Yeah, but...
You know what I mean? Because I'm going Javonte. I'm going, DeAndre Swift.
Let me show you this, though.
Debo.
Let me show you this, though. This is crazy, all right? Are you watching the YouTube page?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it. So
if you look at this right here, and you look at quarterbacks from 2019, I'm right here, fourth in quarterbacks. I rank fourth in quarterbacks in draft accuracy from 2019. 2018, I didn't. 2020, I ranked sixth in quarterbacks. It's pretty good, bro.
The tight end whisperer?
I am the tight end whisperer.
That's what you hear on the internet.
If you go to tight end,
yeah.
Who's number one? I'm number one, 2020. 2019, who's number one? Not me. 2018, tight end rankings. Who's number... Oops, that's kickers. Who's number one? Me again. Number one in 2018 and 2020, your boy Smitty, number one in tight end rankings. Six in quarterbacks. Now this right here, I own this. There's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, there's Drake, there's a couple reasons why I plummeted on the running back rankings, and I'm fine with that. Look, that's my style. Like, you don't like that I'm bold and swing for the fences. You don't trip and fall into the number one spot 2 out of 3 years at the tight end ranking position and get six.
Yeah, you're talking about 300 guys.
Yeah, and
that's like winning the Olympics. Yeah, that's like double gold medal.
And getting fourth in quarterback and six in back-to-back years as well. That's pretty damn hard.
That's what I mean. You might if you take your you limit, like if you take everything, put it together in its totality, I think you're maybe the number one analyst in the world right now, man.
In the world, Umberger. Umberger, call me number one in the world.
He's better.
In the world,
like, who is better?
I wanted nothing more on this live stream than for Umberger to rate me number one in the world. Umberger, give us something else, bro. Give us a hot topic before we jump to the next caller. I would love to know. Yeah, and I've got a couple people in here. Benny saying I'd win the Special Olympics. I wouldn't be able to do any of this without you guys, to be honest with you. I work for you.
Yeah. Hey, man, you're a good guy. You've been working hard. I've been doing those 24-hour live streams when you had fucking the flu, I remember back in the day. And
watch your language.
People don't remember those days, but I was there. I was watching the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Umberger, give me one bold take before you bounce out of here.
I'm saying Pollard might be a top 10 RB.
Love it.
I don't know if that's bold, but.
No, that I love it.
I think you got to draft him aggressively in the mid round and put him as RB2 and not think about Zeke, because Zeke is, at this point, pretty much washed up,
Love Pollard,
I think
bro.
They move away from him this year, and they go Pollard, and they see good results. So
love Pollard, yeah. Bro. Love Pollard. Bold. I like
it. Can I get it to the moon for Pollard?
For sure. I mean, that's a dumb question. That's actually a dumb question.
To the moon.
Can you get a moon?
All right, my bad.
What do I look like, an a-hole? All right, Umberger, appreciate you. Later.
Take care, man.
Umberger, the man, the myth. You're live on the Fantasy Football Show.
Yeah, it is. Rock out.
Rock out.
You wanted me to call back?
Yeah, bro. I was going to ask you. That's right. Are you doing the rap battle Tuesday night, tomorrow night? No, tonight. Tonight. Are you doing the rap battle tonight?
What is that, 7?
Let's see. Tonight? I think it'd be late tonight unless Asher can do it at 7. Let me see if Asher can do it.
Or is it like at 12? Or
yeah, 30? It might be the late night one, but do you want to see if Asher can do it? Hey, Asher, can you do the rap battle at 7 p.m. Eastern? Just a question. Let's see if Asher can do it. For those that don't know, this man, Rockout, and Asher are going to do a side-by-side rap battle. If one of you has to be on the phone, that's fine. I prefer if you both can do video. I could send you a link. If you guys feel a little nervous about the squaring off, maybe you could go on the phone if you wanted. It's up to you guys. And I could rotate. You could call in and rotate. It's however you want to do it. You could also do a rap battle in the DMs if you feel very self-conscious about getting on here and rapping. So it's totally up to you. I don't want to pressure you.
What are we doing? We doing acapella?
Yeah, bro. It's gonna. The followers are gonna tell you what to sing. They're gonna drop some words in the chat, and I'm gonna do it like this. I don't know if you can see my screen right now, but basically it would be like this. It would be like, I see a word and I drop it on screen, and you gotta rap about this. And you'd be like, mashed potatoes in my mama's face, you know, and just drop an impromptu, just blast it out, bro.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you go play guitar or whatever.
Okay. All right. You want to do it on screen, on video? Are you comfortable with that? Or do you want to do it over the phone?
Either way worked.
Okay.
Don't matter.
All right. Can't wait. That's tonight. We're seeing if Asher will respond. Right now, it sounds like it's going to be late tonight. Okay? Thank you for calling back, pal.
All right.
Later.
Bye.
Hamburger helper. Umberger helper. Everyone keeps saying that. Umberger. Umberger helper. All right, guys. That should do it for today. For now, we're going to come back for the 7 p.m. show, of course. Terry Scary McLaurin signing a $53 million guaranteed deal. Sum total of the deal, $71 million in new money. A 3-year extension for Scary Terry McLaurin. Guess what? Scary Terry McLaurin is a top 5 to 10 running back that has a horrible quarterback situation. It's a mediocre quarterback situation that makes Scary Terry McLaurin, unfortunately, rank more in the 9 to 15 range for wide receivers in 2022 fantasy football. It's just the bottom line. You know, as much as we want to say Terry McLaurin's talent could get him to top 5, it probably can't because he needs the football delivered to him. You know, he can only do so much. So, Terry McLaurin, though, if he gets a quarterback next year, let's say they trade for a big-name quarterback, he literally could live on the moon.
To the moon.
He could pitch a tent on the moon. He could be the governor-in-chief on the moon, the boss chief on the moon. He could literally run for president of the moon if he gets an elite quarterback next offseason. Until then, we are stuck with maybe 8 to 15 wide receiver production, which is still very good. That could be your number one wide receiver in a wait on a wide receiver draft approach. I, Smitty, approve Terry McLaurin. Absolutely love him for 2022 at his ADP, which is breaching into round 5. Your 5th drafted player. Are you out of your mind? 5th drafted player, I'll take it. This is a guy that can drop fire at any moment. He's impossible to guard and contain at the NFL level with the new NFL rules that were made years back to allow speedy wide receivers like him untouchable deep and down into his route. So this guy is going to go to the moon. Absolutely love him. This paves the way for the Deebo Samuel deal. Whether Deebo Samuel is going to accept it or not is to be determined. I fully expect he eventually will, but will he have a little pushback not liking the numbers? Because this is what Deebo is going to probably get offered. It's going to maybe be a little bit over, but that's the bottom line. That's what we're dealing with. Deebo's going to have to come to terms that he's not going to get a freaking $62 million guaranteed deal. He's just not. He's not going to get 65. He's not going to get 70. Deebo Samuel is going to get something along the same lines, and he's got to come to terms with it. Maybe it's 55. Maybe it's 55. And like I said at the top of the show, Deebo does deserve, in a sense, to argue that he does deserve to be paid like the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wide receiver in the NFL. I get where he's coming from, but his longevity makes it to where that's impossible to offer. It just does. Like, you can justify what he did last year, and if you could guarantee me you could extrapolate it out for 5, 6 more years, he would be worth every penny. But we don't know what Deebo is going to do in terms of, like, holding up and all that. And so 1 year does make it to where he can aggressively ask for $55 million. Let's be honest. You produce one elite year like Deebo did, and you're going to get $53, $54, $55 million guaranteed. That's impressive. And he needs to be proud of that. But if he thinks that his 1 year is going to allow him to extrapolate that upside out and get the deals that Adams is getting and Hill, and he's not getting that. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it in some ways. Like I said, you argue the point of 1 year and what he did per year. He did as good as anybody. But that's 1 year. He's got to prove it longer to get that big deal. Deebo, come home, baby. Sign your 54 million dollar guaranteed deal once it hits the table. Just ink it and get in there and dominate in 2022, because I think the Niners, and I'm not a Niner fan, I am not, I'm a Trey Lance fan, the Niners are headed
to the moon,
in my opinion, because they have an arsenal of weapons. The weaponry for Trey Lance is unreal. Trey Lance is going to head to the moon. Deebo hopefully stays healthy. I love Ayuk if he can stay out of the doghouse. And the running game, Eli Mitchell is not bad value. I like the idea of drafting Eli Mitchell at the very beginning of the sixth round. You cuff him to Ty Davis Price. You have yourself a potential low-end running back one at the very least if you have the cuff going on. Because Shanahan does rotate Anthony Lynn especially. I don't know about you, nine. I don't know if media's in here. And I know Blackbeard's in here. You guys are loyal to the bone. The Niner fan base is awesome. They're loyal to the bone. But you guys literally are hyping up this Anthony Lynn character that you guys brought over from Detroit. Like, he's an amazing coach. Like, you just because he's a Niner, you're like, yeah, Anthony Lynn, brought him in. We brought in Anthony Lynn. Attention, we brought in Anthony Lynn. Woof! Woof!
Smitty, you're not hearing me. I don't know a lot about fantasy football. I know everything about fantasy football.
Anthony Lynn is not an amazing find. This guy was ousted out of Detroit. His play calling duties were ripped from his kung fu grip by midseason. And this guy absolutely thought that Jamal Williams was better than DeAndre Swift. And he said DeAndre Swift's my B back. Jamal's my A-back, and this is the guy that everybody absolutely loves coming over to San Francisco. But here's the kicker. Here's the rub. Shanahan's not going to let him do anything. He won't be able to take a piss unless Shanahan signs off on it. Shanahan's a control freak. So, I don't know if Anthony Lynn's going to even be able to go. Can I go to the drinking fountain real quick, sir? So, I don't know. I don't know what Anthony Lynn's going to even be able to do. Maybe he's got a particular set of skills that he's acquired over a long career, skills that make him a nightmare for certain defensive coaches and coaching staffs that he isn't able to really deploy because he's so focused on screwing everything else up. If Shanahan can make Anthony Lynn do a certain set of skills that he's good at and literally take away the keys to everything else, like, I wouldn't even be surprised if Anthony Lynn didn't have the keys to his own office. Like, he couldn't go in there by himself. Then maybe Anthony Lynn can, you know, help the Niners in some way. But this whole thing about Anthony Lynn being a great addition, like, this is just getting excited about getting excited. I mean, come on. this guy botched the DeAndre Swift unleashing. This is why I'm excited about Swift now. Anthony Lynn's not there. I'm excited about Swift. Swift to the moon.
To the moon.
Because Anthony Lynn's not there, if that says anything about Anthony Lynn. I appreciate every single one of you. I work for you. I'm going to eat. I ordered bacon and eggs, and I'll put it on my Instagram stories like I always do. And it's all sitting out there. I literally went live for an hour and 20 minutes. My food is out there because I work for you. Breaking news, McLaurin. I have a job to do. McLaurin signs. I walk in here. I go live. I don't have any excuses. I was in the car getting the food. That's why I didn't go live immediately. Of course, when I leave the house, I barely leave this place, this cave that I live in. But when I do go, something breaks immediately. I go outside. I go get my food. I come back. It's in the kitchen, getting all cold because I work for you. I'll be back at 7 p.m. Eastern because I go live every day at 7 p.m. Eastern. Get on over to thefantasyfootballshow.com and get your lifetime membership. Get your one-on-one text advice where you and I can text back and forth. I leave voice messages on every reply, so you get a 1 to 2 minute voice message from me telling you what I think of what you just asked me. It's not some fragment text you get. It's me leaving you an audio message, one-on-one style. Thefantasyfootballshow.com. Go order your text advice for 2022. And click on the Underdog Fantasy link that's down in the description or on thefantasyfootballshow.com in the banner of the site, the top of the site. Play Underdog Fantasy for your boy Smitty. Win a free 10 to 15 minute phone call if you sign up and you're a new customer to Underdog by clicking the link in the description. And I will see you all at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please leave a comment after this video posts on YouTube. It'll start off with zero comments. I reply to every comment. Let's see you at 7. Do me a favor and hit that like button, guys, on your way out the door. It helps the channel big time. Punch that thumb up button for your boy Smitty. Get on over to thefantasyfootballshow.com. Get those memberships. The YouTube exclusive group link is pinned in the live chat right now. And appreciate every single one of you.
Catch you later, Bubba.
Deuce, bro.